Church. It's good to have you all with us today. And Josh said, obviously a lot of things to pray about and continue to pray about. As we said, Andy, please let us know, the family, if there's anything we can do. We want to do whatever we can be done to help and pray for you guys. We love you, and you're weighing heavy on our hearts at this time, that's for sure. So we are beginning a new series here this morning that's going to lead us up to our time of revival. Our revival is only 6 weeks away. Dean Jackson will be here with us, and so this will take us through September and into the first couple weeks of October, and then we are looking forward to the revival. And so this message for this series is entitled, Let Me Introduce You to Jesus. It's going to be a sermon series where we are going to try to learn some new things about the characteristics of our Lord and Savior, or to simply be reminded of things that we already know of him. We're going to have six different lessons, all taken from the book of Luke, and all very short excerpts that we're pretty much going to look at that will hopefully rejuvenate our interest in Jesus or reinvigorate a desire to know Jesus more intimately. And we're going to take a look at six different stories that involve him dealing with other people. And maybe we can learn a thing or two from it as well. Luke chapter 5 is where we'll be at today. Luke chapter 5, just a few short verses, verses 12 through 16, if you would turn there. If not, it's on the screen. Luke chapter 5, 12 through 16. While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face, implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. There's four things that we want to look at here this morning that I think are just kind of there for us to learn a little bit more about Jesus. And then there is one overlying theme that Jesus wants for us to get. There's things that we look at that we can learn from him, but then there's what Jesus really wants for us to learn. So we'll touch on those four things, and then we will focus a little bit more in depth on the overlying situation that involves man. The first thing here that I think Luke is wanting us to know, and I chose this series to be out of the book of Luke, because Luke looks at things differently. All the gospel writers look at things differently. Same situations that happen, but they see them from different perspectives. Matthew, for example, is a tax collector. He's going to look at things from a perspective that is very, very specific. In mathematics, it either adds up or it doesn't, and that's the way Matthew sees things. And Mark, he is sharing from the perspective of being told of what Peter shared when he was here. Mark, obviously being much younger than the rest of them, as we see with his life. This would be John Mark with the whole Paul trial that he had and going on the missionary journeys, and that's years later yet. And so Mark didn't witness these things. He's going by what Peter's telling him, and we know Peter sometimes very short and to the point, cut to the chase kind of a guy. So that's what Mark is as you read that. Luke's a physician. He's going to go into some details that we don't find in other books. He's not so much as Matthew's the facts. He's on sometimes, okay, the underlying circumstances that are here. That's what we're going to find in Luke. John, obviously the beloved one, he's going to have a different view of things and looking at it more of how the interaction, the love that Jesus would show. And so we're looking at these through Luke's eyes through this series, and so those are going to be some of the things that we're going to be sharing. The first thing I think that Luke wants for us to know and to understand in just these few verses, and you don't just find it here in this text, you find it all throughout the gospel accounts, is that Jesus cares for people. Jesus cares for people. We shared our lesson on Wednesday night on loneliness, and then Josh in the song service this morning, talked about how there's someone fighting for us. We are not alone. We're not alone. And many times we feel like we're alone, perhaps, maybe, but we're not alone. And it's a reminder to us, the rest of us sometimes may get caught up in the busyness of life and the world, but always remember this, Jesus cares. Jesus cares. And that doesn't mean that people don't care. It just means that we get distracted easier than Jesus does. Jesus doesn't get distracted. He stays focused on his goal. His entire mission is to do the will of the Father, express that to people, and let that fall as it may. But Jesus cares about people. Mark chapter 1, verse 41, this is Mark telling this account, says, and Jesus was, or the first part of it says that of Mark 1:41a, he was moved with compassion, and Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Mark says this many times in his accounts, that Jesus was moved with compassion. And I do find that interesting, because who did we say is relaying this message to Mark? Peter, but yet Mark has also learned throughout his life that the Lord shows compassion. Sometimes Mark may be reminded that Paul was kind of hard on me, and sometimes we're hard on each other, but Jesus shows compassion. Jesus shows compassion. He was moved with compassion. He stretched out his hand and touched him. I couldn't help but one of the passages I came across in study for this week was what the prophet Isaiah describes as such a wonderful manner of the heart of Jesus when he talks about the loving shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 says this, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs. Don't you just imagine, remember when Jesus, a time of crucifixion was drawing near, and he's sitting outside the city in Jerusalem, and he looks down at Jerusalem and says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish I could just be like a mother hen and just pull you in. He gives that illustration. And then as we see here, when it talks about gathering up the lambs, why is that? Because we know, as even the little nursery rhyme tells us, that Mary had a little lamb and it likes to wander off, right? Or little Bo Peep, has lost her sheep. They like to wander off. And Jesus wants to gather those lambs back. And he carries them in his bosom. So many times we see pictures, paintings, references of Jesus as he goes out, as the 99 are safe, and he picks up the one. Most of those pictures show him carrying him over his shoulder in his back. But Scripture tells us differently. Scripture says that he grabs him in and pulls him tight and pulls him in and pulls him close to his bosom. And then it says he will gently lead the nursing ewes. These are the ones that are weak and feeble and needing help from both directions, the mother and the little one needing help to make sure that this happens. We've seen it time and time again in our own human world, where it's maybe difficult for a mother and a newborn baby to connect. It happens in the animal world just the same. And Jesus is saying, I'm going to help you find that connection that you both need, that you both need. As a church family, as was shared, we know that we've got those of our own that are in real need this week, this past week, and in prayers. And I love how Josh mentioned that. I hope our knees are sore from being in prayer. And I hope that our hearts are melted. And I hope that our minds are renewed and refreshed to how loving and how great and faithful, as we sang this morning, that our God truly is. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus cares for people. Also in this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus listens to people. Jesus cares for... Boy, I have totally messed up, did I not? Yeah, sorry about that. I've totally combined a couple of our points, and now they're... I'm just seeing that. Jesus cares about people. Now let's back up to the first one. All right, sorry about that, Bob. I totally skipped a point there. But I did feel that was, as we see this, our cares, Jesus cares for people, is obviously at the top of our list. Number one is that Jesus listens to people. Imagine, if you will, that Jesus puts down his cell phone and listens. Jesus puts down his cell phone and listens. There was a boy that came home from school one day, and he was telling his father how excited he was that he got a part in the play at school. His dad replied, "That is wonderful, son. So what part are you playing?" He says, "I got the part of a man who has been married to his wife for 20 years. The father responds, "Excellent. Maybe next time in the play you'll get a speaking part." Jesus listens to people. Not everyone does the best job of listening. This can be a lost art anymore. To be able to stop, to clear your mind, and simply focus on what someone is saying is so easy to get distracted. But as we pointed out, Jesus always stays on task, and Jesus always stays focused with his mission and what his mission was. And what was Jesus' mission? People. People. Mark chapter 1, verses 32 through 34 says, "When evening came, and after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was." He listened first and foremost to what the problem was of this guy. Too many times when somebody comes and says, "I need to talk to you," soon as they say one sentence, then we rattle on everything that we're going to tell them to cure their problem, and all they really need is somebody to listen. They need somebody to listen and then talk. Jesus listened. Why did Jesus listen? Because, as we have already discussed, because Jesus cares for people. He listened to not what he thought they were going to say. That's where so many people get in trouble. You start to tell somebody something, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I've done that. I did that to Mr. Burton a week or so ago." He come in and says, "I got to tell you something." He started to tell me something that was similar to something that I already knew, and I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I know." And then he goes on, and he goes, "I don't think we're talking about the same thing." And then he told me, I was like, "Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I needed to listen to what all was being said." Jesus always listens to people. You know why? Because Jesus cares about people. Jesus was an active listener. He listened with the intent to learn. You can learn a lot about people by listening to them. He listened with the intent to help. And he listened with the intent for himself and for the others back to reciprocate, to love deeper. To love deeper. So here's our suggestion. Listen. Jesus listened to people. Jesus cares about people, and so now we're back in the right flow of things, Bob. So if we'll go to number three. As we see from this text, Jesus honors the law. In other words, the Bible of the day that he had, he honored that. Right? We've got people that honor the Bible so much, they don't even open it because they don't want to mess it up. I don't think that's what he was shooting for. Right? The Bible ought to be something that you wear out. At least now with digital ones, you just hope the battery don't die out on you, or you hope you have internet connection, right? Which is obviously a struggle here today. As we see this, Jesus honors the law. Leviticus chapter 13 is all about this. Tells all about this incident of if you come in contact with someone or you yourself has leprosy. Because remember, that's what the whole idea is. A man with leprosy comes to Jesus. Jesus listens to him. Jesus cares for him. But Jesus still honors the law. Matthew 5:17, Jesus says this, and this is something that we need to remember. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to do what? But to fulfill. But to fulfill. So Jesus didn't come, and this is, I hear people all the time say that Jesus was a rebel, right? There's even a song that it talks about this, the way it'll say that Jesus was a rebel. I don't think Jesus was a rebel. I think what it was he always tried to please the Father, and people have a hard time understanding that. And so in their eyes, they see it as, well, he's anti-establishment, or he goes against the mainstream of things. He may, but it's because he is following his desire to please the Father. It's not that he's rebelling just to rebel. People do all sorts of things today to rebel. And we've all seen it. I could list off a handful of things right now that we know people do, and it's not because they're trying to conform, it's because they're trying to rebel against the establishment, against the man, against different things of that nature. But Jesus obeyed the Father to prove his love for mankind. Jesus said for this man to follow the law. Do what you're told to do. Because they had to go, the priest, they had to present themselves to the priest, especially if they had leprosy and then it had started to clear up. They had to make sure that it was okay, and the priest would do that, and then there would be a protocol that they'd have to follow. As I said, read Leviticus 13 if you want to know more about that. But Jesus is not against rules. Jesus wants for us to follow the rules. Jesus is the whole time is thinking, if Adam and Eve would have followed the rules, but they knew that they weren't gonna. If you today would just follow the rules, but he knows we're not gonna. And so many times we say, well, I know, you know, this is, but I'm gonna do this. Jesus wants for you to follow the rules. He honored the law. He wants for us to as well. And then we see, lastly in here, I think something that maybe slips away from us sometimes. But if we understand and we know and we're reminded of the life of Jesus, it makes perfectly sense. Jesus sought no praise from this event. Somebody healed, right? Leprosy. In chapel on Friday, we had the story out of Luke as well of the 10 lepers that were healed. And remember, they went away, and then the one that came back was a Samaritan, and he thanked the Lord for healing him and was gracious about those things. And Jesus doesn't do these things to receive glory and praise and honor. He does them so that you will honor and praise the Father. He says, I do nothing of my own initiative. I am not here for my own will. I am not here to make myself a national power figure. I am here so that you will see the glory of God. He sought no praise. He sought no praise. That's why as we go through and you read Isaiah chapter 53, and it talks about how he was just a normal individual. There was nothing exciting or over the top about him at all, because it wasn't about him. Church, remember this. It's not about you. Maybe we should all say that together. It's not about me. Right? It's not about me. It's all about him. Jesus sought no praise. Mark chapter 1 and verse 43, and he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. What Jesus is saying is, hey, go live your life and praise God for it. One translation, I believe maybe it was the NIV, said it this way: your praise means nothing to me. John 5:41 says, I do not receive glory from men. And that, I think it was, like I said, I think it was the NIV translation that says, your praise means nothing to me. If we're only doing things to draw attention to ourselves, we've missed the boat. It's all about Jesus. Again, everything that Jesus did was to give glory to the Father. Jesus was not the type to stand up and shout, look at me. Jesus sought no glory. He sought no praise. He sought no acclaim. He only wanted to make his Father's love be shown to all. And this is where I think we get to the heart of this lesson. If I was to ask you, what is this, these short five verses about, what would you say? About Jesus, and we can point out those four things that we talked about, that he listens, that he loves, that he cares for, that he kept the law, that he honors the law, that he sought no praise. Those are some of the things that we can look at. But I still feel the number one overwhelming thing that the Lord wants for us to learn is not to forget what starts off this whole story is a man had some leprosy. And I don't think the focus is on leprosy. I think the focus is on our sin. I think the focus is on our unworthiness. I think the focus is on how spiritually, until we get right with Jesus, until he touches us, until we find out about his compassion and his love and his concern, we are spiritual outcasts, as the leprous nation was. Even to the point that they gave them leper colonies for them to go off and live by themselves. Got the opportunity sometime this week, type in the word leper. If you're in the school and you're a first grader, apparently they think that lepers are cats that run real fast and have spots on them. At least they did on Friday, right? And so that we try to show them that it's a little bit different than that. There may be spots involved, but anyway, I want to share with you, look at some of those pictures this upcoming week and see. But John Gill, in his commentary, describes the leper as following, and I want to read, because to me, use your sanctified imaginators and you'll vision far more grotesque than you'll even find on the internet pictures. As we said, and then don't think of it as leprosy is the problem, church. Think of it as sin is the problem. Many of those associates of John Gill and many writers from Jewish history wrote about this. It says, behold, a man full of leprosy, a disease to which the Jews were very incident, and concerning which many laws and rules are given. Leviticus 13 is one of those. The symptoms of the ancient lepra, as laid down by many writers, are as follows. The patient's voice becomes hoarse and comes rather through the nose than the mouth. It almost then, their speaking becomes a growl. The blood full of little white shining bodies like groins of millet, which upon filtration separate themselves from it. From 200 years ago, they talk a lot different than we do today, right? The serum is scabious and destitute of natural humidity, insomuch that if they would apply salt to it, the salt will not dissolve. It is so dry that vinegar poured on it begins to boil. And it is so strongly bound together by little impermeable threads that calcined lead thrown on it actually swims. The face resembles a coal, half extinct, unctuous, shining, and bloated, with frequent hard knobs, green at the bottom and white at the top. The hair is short, stiffened, and brinded, not to be torn off without bringing away some of the rotten flesh which adheres to it. If it grows again, either on the head or the chin, it will always be white. And immediately I went. Athwart, like I said, language is different nowadays than it was then. Athwart the forehead run large wrinkles or furrows from one temple to the other, the eyes red and inflamed and shine like those of a cat. See, they compare cat to not good things. The ears swollen and red, eaten with ulcers towards the bottom and encompassed with little glands. The nose sunk because the rotting of the cartilage of the nose caves in. The tongue dry and black and swollen, ulcerated, divided with furrows, and the spotted with grains of white. The skin covered with ulcers that die revive on each other or with white spots or scales like fish. It is rough and insensible, and when cut, instead of blood, yields a sinuous liquor. It arrives in time to such a degree of insensibility that the wrist, feet, or even the large tendons of the body may be pierced through with a large needle without the patient feeling any pain. At last, the nose, the fingers, the toes, and even privy members fall off entirely. And by a death peculiar to each of them, anticipate that the patient, it is added, that of the patient, it is also added that the body is so hot that a fresh apple held in the hand for even an hour will become dried and wrinkled as if it has been exposed to the sun for over a week straight. Now, doesn't that make you feel a little bit better about that pimple that was on your cheek this morning? That's some messed up stuff, physically speaking. The grotesqueness of it. And yet the Lord, really what he is doing is it's not about the leper, it's about sin. And this is what it looks like in the eyes of God. How that we become to the point where it's impossible for us to even reach out and hold his hand. That's why when it said he reached out and Jesus touched him, he will change your life forever if you let him. So I don't think this story is about a leper. I think this story is about sinners. I think this story is about you. I think this story is about me. I think this story is about all mankind and how we need Jesus. And Jesus wants to listen. And Jesus cares because Jesus honors the law. And Jesus does not seek for his own praise or glory. It's all so that we honor God. In church, it's not about some physical ailment or a mighty struggle that we might be having. It's about sin and how that separates us from Jesus Christ. You can go to heaven with cancer. You can go to heaven with a tumor. You can go to heaven with Alzheimer's. You can go to heaven with heart disease. You can go to heaven with all sorts of other ailments. But when it comes to going to heaven and having the sins that we carry on us, it can't happen. It's only through God and Jesus Christ reaching out and touching us is what he did at the cross. And what he does to make our sins go away when we are washed away in the watery grave of baptism. And that's why I think we should be reminded as we close out this morning of the words of Paul in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, while we were the leprous, while we were the grotesque, while those of the life's trials and struggles are getting us down, we need to just give it to Jesus. Turn it over to him. Reach out. He cares for you. He loves you. He listens to you. And even while we were at our worst, Jesus was at his best in dying on the cross for each and every one of us, arose and conquered the grave so that we do not have to suffer the grotesqueness, the separating, the spirit-soul separation of God, but so that we can be called a child of his. Jesus is reaching out. Will you reach out for him as well? There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture. It tells us, it starts with our belief in who Jesus is. Why did this man go to Jesus? Because he believed in Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus today? Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die. You will be separated to repent. Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That you confess Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, do you believe that I can make you well? He even come to Jesus and said, I want you to make me well. And Jesus said, you've come to the right place. We need to confess that he is Lord. To be immersed. To be immersed. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. It's our faith in him that motivates us to obey him and do whatever he's asked us to do. Jesus said, go and prove yourself to the priests. All right, that's what I'm going to do. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. What Jesus is telling us is it's not about leprosy. It's not about the struggle of this life. It's about sin. It's about separation from him, and he wants to draw us in. He doesn't want to push us away. He wants for us to be close to him. He wants for us to listen like he does and love like he does and be concerned like he is. And he wants for us to honor God's word as he did. And he wants for us to do all of this with no glory of our own, but so that Jesus will be glorified and magnify the Father, which are in heaven. Let me introduce you to Jesus. He's the lover of your soul. Others have done great things for you in your life, but Jesus has given it all so that we could be with him. Respond in kind and do everything you can do to be with him. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song this morning?